But a man who's on top of everything is the assistant to the general manager, a real baseball guy, and that is Bobby Evans. Joins us. Bobby, how are you today?
Very good, Marty. How's it going today?
Well, it's good. It's beautiful out here in Peoria. Very nice. No wind out here, which is a nice change for the folks out here. But I want to get right to it with you. And, you know, I talk about the record 7-19. I talk about how the team plays. But there are now becoming some interesting battles for a few of these spots on the team with a week to go. So I want to sort of get your analysis of Duffy, Susak, Contos, and people like that. How are things shaping up?
Well, very good. Good to have that problem, to have tough decisions to make at the end. It's what you want to do. It's your final roster spot. You don't want it to be too cut and dry, but it will be something that comes down to the very end. The toughest part about it is, of course, that you have a George Contos that doesn't have options, or you have an Adrianza that doesn't have options, and so you have to make tough decisions sometimes because your flexibility is limited, and that's part of it.
Well, you know, again, I look at the first few weeks of the season, and I say, well, you know, you're going to face a lot of right-handed pitching in this division, Arizona, Colorado, San Diego, and you got a lot of left-handed hitters, and I think that's to your advantage. But, you know, you get late in the game, they start bringing in these left-handed relievers. It's nice to have some right-handed hitters off the bench, and I'm looking at Duffy, I'm looking at Susak, and even Maxwell. I'm saying maybe they get a better look here because of the way the first few weeks are coming out.
Well, it's all part of it, but you know, you have a long season ahead, so you have to not only get through April, but you got to get through the rest of the season too. And so it does become somewhat of a puzzle, and one that is you know, at times can be hard to sort out. But the last part of the spring is sometimes where you start to see guys struggle under the pressure, or sometimes rise to the occasion. Sometimes you see, you know, nagging injuries start to become more problematic. But it's really something that is not unexpected. I mean, we came into the camp knowing, you know, we would have some tough decisions in certain areas, and good for the guys that have made it even tougher with a spring like Duffy's had.
Yeah, and I always say, look, you know, Duffy's not knocking Crawford out. Susak's not knocking Posey out. Maxwell's not knocking Oki out. So these are, you know, these are interesting battles, but the guys on the field are the guys that have to get it done. So you're 7-19, this, and you're right, you're exactly right. This next week, it's always interesting to see how players play when they get up to San Francisco and when they have to really do it this last week. How do you assess just the general spring training for this team coming off the World Series?
Well, we expected you know, to have a much better record, I think, but I don't think our evaluation is based on the wins and losses. We recognize that our pitching is in good form. There's still things that we'll have to work through, but the pitching has been better than the ERA indicates, and certainly better than the win-loss record indicates. We know that we have the lineup that's not going to score a ton of runs. We know that we have that when you mix in, you know, players from the farm system with that, it certainly cut into, you know, you don't have too many eight and ten run games like we you know, might ordinarily see in the spring. So overall, we feel like that the team is getting prepared for the battle ahead, and we know we're going to play a lot of close games this season. So it's not going to be a runaway train here. We're going to have to do everything we can to stay in every game, and we're going to have to pitch for it.
Yeah, Bobby Evans with us. I agree. That's why I think the 25-man roster may have a bigger play this time than in the past, because you will have a lot of tight games. Hey, Daniel Carbonell has opened up some eyes, I think. Chris Heston certainly did last night. Mack Williamson still comes over and gets hits now and then. Talk a little bit about some of these young players you've seen in spring who more than likely won't make the team, but, you know, during a year or even next year, all of a sudden they're on the horizon.
Well, I like the way Carbonell plays the game. He wants to be every bit of as good a player as many of these players that are coming over from Cuba. But at the same time, he wants to do it with a little different style and a little different approach, and he wants to play the game the right way, and he's made mention of that. And I like the way he goes about his work, and he has shown some power this spring. We see him as an excellent athlete, and you know whether he can play all three outfield positions at the big league level will still be determined. But it's fun to see him have a good spring, and he'll most likely start the year at Double-A. But again, he's on the 40-man, a guy that we think a lot of, and as he gets more experience, he could come quickly, as could Mack Williamson. I mean, yeah. Nobody swings a bat with as much thunder as Mack has this spring. I mean, every line drive he hits is loud, and that's fun to watch. He's coming off of the Tommy John surgery, and his arm feels great, and I think his bat shows the thunder that he's had in the past, and he'll get challenged at Double-A as well. So this, these farm clubs will be all fun to watch in their own way, but with those two bats in the outfield, make it very interesting. And again, this today's game with the futures is fun because you get to see a lot of different guys. I mean, young infielder like Christian Arroyo and recent draft pick from the Bay Area, Stanford, Austin Slater. And so it's a special day for us to, highlight some of these guys and let them get exposed. You know, last year's futures game, two of those guys ended up in the World Series between Susak and Panic. So you just never know how far the future is away.
Boy, very good. Yeah, Bobby Evans with us. I forgot about that. Tyler Beattie throws today. What sort of a spring is he having? I know he's not in the big league camp, but how's he doing?
Well, you just have to continue to, as you do with any young pitcher, just work on command of the breaking stuff. He's got a plus-plus fastball, and we've worked closely with him this spring, but this will be a testing ground. Probably a guy that will go to San Jose, which is an excellent opportunity for him to compete against a very good hitters league, if you will. So he'll be challenged, but we like what we see. We're very pleased, and we still say that he's a guy that could come quickly just because of how much, not only because of his upside, but just because how polished he already is.
Yeah, out of Vanderbilt, right? Is it Vanderbilt?
That's right, Vanderbilt. First-round pick out of Vanderbilt.
Hey, a guy who the players tell me about, and I haven't really seen that much of him, I must tell you, is Tomlinson, the second baseman. I mean, he's got 50 stolen bases, 30 in a row. I mean, they tell me this guy may be the fastest guy in camp. Where do you project him, and is he close?
Well, I think that the bat is really where he has to continue to build consistency, and he's not a guy that's going to hit, for power or anything like that, but he's got to do a better job of going the other way and better situational hitting. But he can bunt for a hit, and he's a great athlete. But he's a guy who's going to have to, work his way for every opportunity. He's going to, be a guy that takes one step at a time. And Double-A is probably where he'll start the year. And he is fun to watch when he's on the base paths. And again, there's work to be done, but who knows where and how fast he can come. But the expectation is that he's going to probably, have to take a time at each level to get here.
Good, great analysis. Always good to have you on. The pitching staff at Sacramento, and I said Heston last night, my goodness, six innings. He's put on 20 pounds out of East Carolina. I thought he pitched great last night after the first inning. What does the pitching staff at Sacramento, the starters, look like for you?
Well, with Heston being one of the main guys there, I mean, he obviously we don't have a spot for him here, but he's on the 40-man, and the way he's pitched this spring is one of the reasons we were glad to be able to retain him when we took him off the roster a couple of years ago and after he had gotten injured. And he looks great, and he has gained some weight, and his ball's moving. He's got excellent command, and I think he'll in the PCL your numbers get inflated a bit, but that's where he'll start. He'll be one of our starters. We look at Ty Block as one of the other guys that'll be on the centerpiece of that rotation, and it's still being defined. I mean, we look at different guys within the minor league camp right now who could start at that level. Some guys we want to see start at Double-A just because they haven't gotten Through that league in a full season. Right. So we'll push some guys back. But we've got some veteran guys like Travis Blackley and Nick Turley and others who at some level may have to factor in, you know, at AAA for us.
Well, great. Boy, great. I love catching up with you. I really do. Let's go to the Major League roster just a little bit, and I know you're getting ready for the Futures game over in Scottsdale. Aoki, he's starting to hit some triples. He may obliterate the triples record. He hit one against the A's. It must have gone about right to the wall in center field, just crushed it. Pagan, can you hit him third, fifth? It seems like you win with him at the leadoff spot. How is this thing going to potentially shake out the lineup? How do you see it?
I think there's probably a lean towards Pagan at third, especially with Pence out. I think it's probably more necessary. You know, maybe when Pence comes back, you could make some adjustments. But I think to start out with, Pagan's got the kind of bat that can hit in that third spot and help keep your lineup strong in the middle. When he's at the top, Aoki doesn't have that same capability in the middle of the lineup. So
right.
We know Aoki what he can do at the top of the order, and we hope that our ballpark, you know, in San Francisco plays well. As it's played well for Pagan, we think it'll play well for Aoki and be able to, you know, keep that high on base and that consistency of, you know, he's been a guy who's hit .280 with a .350 on base for the last 3 years, and, you know, that's what we expect out of him.
Yeah, great. Great numbers for a leadoff hitter. I love hearing this because this is one of our discussions. Matt Cain goes tomorrow. He's pitched in the minor league camp the last couple of times. He goes tomorrow against the Dodgers. Says he's got some elbow soreness. Is he 100%, say, this ready to go when the season opens up, or is there some question about him?
No, I think he's going to be turned loose. I mean, he just hit a bomb to the left center field gap and ground rule double here for Matt Cain. I think he looks good. I think it's part of the rehab process. I mean, you know, I've talked to him. I've talked to the trainers. Everybody was prepared for the fact that the elbow, the bone in the elbow, was going to take some pressure that it, and some hits that it hadn't over the last few years because it's been kind of engrossed or covered with the tissue around those bone chips that were taken out. So now that bone doesn't have that cushion, if you will, and so it's going to be sore for him at times. But the thing that I appreciate is the fact that it was expected, and that soreness he's able to pitch through without worry or concern. We all know that surgery is significant anytime you're having it, and for a pitcher even more so when it's involving your arm or much less your elbow. So we don't take it lightly, but again, I think every sign right now points to him being on schedule to do what we need him to do.
Ah, terrific. All right, last question for you. Lincecum the other night, sometimes that fastball is way out of the strike zone. All of a sudden, if he gets ahead, that secondary stuff is really good. What do you see with Lincecum? Do you see anything different? Do you expect anything different than what we've seen the last couple of years?
Well, again, it's tough because, again, you see two different Lincecums even sometimes in the same game.
And that's right. Yeah.
I think it's that delivery and the ability to repeat it. And I think that, you know, he and his dad did a great job this winter preparing for the spring. At times this spring, he's looked, you know, much more comfortable and advanced for spring training than he normally does in spring training. And, you know, I love to see him get in the rhythm yesterday or the other day, and it's fun to watch. It's really what he needs to do to be effective. And unfortunate for him, he can fall out of that rhythm. And if he starts a game out of the rhythm, it can cost you several runs early in the game. Which, even though he may get it back and be able to get you through five or six innings, you know, those early runs can really, you know, weaken your chances of winning a ball game. So I think that's going to have to be a measure of his success, is to, you know, keep runs off the board early, because he seems to find it as the game goes. So if he can just find it earlier, he'll do a much better job.
Boy, terrific. Bobby, thank you so much. This is good. We covered a lot of ground today, and I think I'm ready on some of the issues that we'll discuss after the game today. So I appreciate you being on. Enjoy the Futures game, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Marty. Sounds good.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Boy, that's good. Bobby Evans, Assistant General Manager. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.